shamanism. And now, coming up next, stay tuned for Health Watch. Dr. Leslie Korn visits with the Good Mood Kitchen, simple recipes and nutrition tips for emotional balance. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, open daily December 16 through December 24 for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade art, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at 2 Southwest Ankeny in the Waterfront Park. Information at portlandsaturdaymarket.com.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Resolutions Northwest, Charity of the Day event and celebration on Monday, December 4th from 11:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Oregon Public House in Portland. The mission of Resolutions Northwest is to facilitate honest dialogue to resolve conflict and advance racial and social justice. This event features performances by Wallace and the Director of Equality and Community Programs, Carlos Winham, and all the proceeds of the day go to support Resolutions Northwest. Again, that's Resolutions Northwest Charity of the Day event and celebration on Monday, December 4th, 11:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Oregon Public House, 700 Northeast Deakum Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Boki Bowl, located 1028 Southeast Water Avenue in Portland, and serving ramen in an industrial space with counter service and communal seating. Dinner was provided by Dean Nicholas, located 3520 Southeast Powell's Boulevard in Portland, and serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Hello and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist, your host the second Monday of each month. This week I'll be filling in for David Naiman. Today we are speaking with Leslie Korn, PhD, clinical traumatologist specializing in mental health nutrition and integrative medicine, and author of the new book, The Good Mood Kitchen, a book full of tools to help you learn more about how to improve mood and mental health through the food you eat. The book is rich with recommendations, recipes, and helpful lists on beneficial foods to improve mental health and emotional balance. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, depression affects more than 6 million Americans ages 15 to 44 and is one of the leading causes of disability. Generalized anxiety disorder affects approximately 6.8 million adults, and PTSD affects 7.7 million adults. Dr. Korn began her clinical work as a body worker, yoga teacher, and student of indigenous healing traditions. A core faculty member of Capella University's Mental Health Counseling Program, she served as a Fulbright Scholar on traditional medicine, studying traditional medicines and foods of Native peoples in Mexico. A clinical fellow at Harvard Medical School and a National Institutes of Health-funded research scientist in mind-body medicine. In 1975, she founded the Center for Traditional Medicine, a public health clinic in rural indigenous Mexico, where she lived and directed the clinic for over 25 years. Author of 7 books, including her most recent, The Good Mood Kitchen, and others, Nutrition Essentials for Mental Health and Rhythms of Recovery, Trauma, Nature, and the Body. She teaches and consults internationally for mental health professionals and tribal communities, as well as having an international telehealth practice specializing in mental health, nutrition, and cognitive well-being. Dr. Leslie Korn, welcome to Health Watch.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to be here. Great. I'm so interested through the research there is out there. It's really become clear that mental health disorders are actually physiologically based too, as brain disorders. And your book outlines how and what to eat for brain and mental health. I was just wondering if we could start the conversation about the connection between food and brain health and mood.
Absolutely. I think there's no question that our early life experiences, even our early life nourishment, sets the stage for the development of our nervous system and our brain. We've long known that exposure to overwhelming experiences and adverse events affects our mood. I think what we've paid less attention to until recently is how those experiences, whether it's through different kinds of nourishment in the womb or in our early life, or different kinds of exposures to adversity, really affect the function and structure of our brain and nervous system, and therefore how we can actually change it, even as adults, by eating according to what our brain, mind, and body need. And I think that's really what the focus of the Good Mood Kitchen is. It's to say it's not just an emotional state. It's an emotional state that's mediated by our brain. And our brain is made up of mostly fat. And we've come through a 40-year period of low-fat diets, of being afraid of fats and afraid of eggs. And this has also very much affected the function of our brain and our moods as well.
So I have a couple of questions. If, let's say, a person really received suboptimal nutrition in the womb or even as an infant, you know, how can that be remedied later? Doesn't that really kind of set those synapses and neurons and all of that early on? Can that be changed?
I think to a certain degree it can, and I think each individual is very different. We know that the brain is very plastic. It's growing and changing all the time. There's recent research that suggests we can reverse cognitive decline with diet and exercise. And so I never take the approach that we're limited. What I want to do is work with someone to optimize what's right for them. And the other point that I make in the Good Mood Kitchen is that there's no one right diet for everyone. You know, we're all subject to media and fads and ideas that, oh, we've got to be paleo. Oh, we've got to be vegan. Oh, we're going to try this now. We're going to eat lots of kale. But the fact is, each of us has a genetic heritage that's rooted really in the genetic evolution of the environment in which our peoples evolved. Some of my patients are Inuit up in northern Alaska. They would drop dead as vegetarians. That's just not how they evolved. They evolved for a diet of 80% blubber and fat, some proteins, and very few carbs. Whereas my patients from India or Mexico or even Ireland are going to do very well, often with a plant-based diet with limited proteins in terms of animal proteins or different types of whether it's fish or meat. So the other piece around restoring the brain, restoring the nervous system through nutrition at whatever age and whatever you were exposed to as an infant or as a child, is to really identify the nourishment that your genetics calls for. And that means taking ideology out of it and really understanding what the brain, mind, body needs. Along the spectrum from carnivore to vegetarian. And of course, many of us fit somewhere in between.
Well, absolutely, especially as we all mix up cultures, or, you know, all of us are a product of many different ancestral traditions. You know, I have four different strains that I know of in my lineage. So that's really a wonderful thing to help us, as you're talking about it, to connect to our cultural roots and to use that kind of common sense tradition to nourish us now in this present moment.
Absolutely. Even though we are all a mix, we often have a dominance. Think about how you might have your father's forehead and your mother's eyes, and this part of your personality comes from your grandmother, but you're more like your grandfather in this way. We evolve with a dominance, and the genetic dominance that informs our dietary choices is really rooted in science, in the Krebs cycle, at the rate at which we oxidize glucose. And so some of us do much better with a high carb diet. We oxidize glucose very well, very efficiently, but there are some people who do not at all. And so it really is incumbent upon us to, when I'm working with a client, I'll ask them to begin first with paying attention to how food and certain combinations of food makes them feel. If they feel energized by a breakfast of eggs and protein and low carb, then that's something they need to pay attention to. If they feel energized by oatmeal and apples and nuts for breakfast, that's something to pay attention to. If you're having a sandwich at lunch and you're tired an hour later, that might not be right for you. If you've got chronic digestive problems, chronic diarrhea, if you've got joint pain, if you're moody and depressed, we know that gluten and lots of glutinous grains can contribute to depression, contribute to digestive problems and joint pain. And you may not have celiac disease, but you may have sensitivities. We know, for example, that gluten contains opiate-like substances called gluteomorphins that can drug us, that affect us like the opiates. And people may not realize that eating these foods is affecting their mood, making them depressed. I think the other thing that science tells us now is that depression and anxiety is not so much about a serotonin deficiency. That's a myth, really, that's never been proved. It was promulgated with the advent of Prozac in 1988, because that's what Prozac does. And so I think we have to be very apply a scientific critique to where our information is coming from. We know now that research tells us that depression is in large part a function of inflammatory process in the body. And foods, the wrong kind of foods, are one of the major contributing factors to inflammation. That's our refined foods, our white sugars and our white flours and our poor quality oils. Those are the three major culprits that contribute to depression and anxiety.
Well, you had a whole bunch of stuff in there. We've got, you know, our just the fact that really all of us, if we pay attention, we know what's right for us and what isn't by the way we feel after we eat something. That's what I heard you
say. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that we suffer from a kind of social dissociation,
right,
of being told that we don't know how we feel.
Exactly.
And we need to take drugs when we feel a certain way.
Right. When really, if we eat something and we don't feel good, that's information right there.
That's right. It's not to be drugged. If we eat something and it gives us indigestion, we shouldn't treat the indigestion. We should ask ourselves, why do I have GERD? Not take a proton pump inhibitor to treat the GERD. That just makes things worse. It's really, all right, maybe I shouldn't be eating all of this. And in fact, GERD, we know, occurs at a high rate with PTSD because, as you well know, we need to be relaxed for our digestive juices to flow and digest our food. It occurs in a state of relaxation. And if we eat when we're not relaxed, it just sets into process a state in which we can't digest our foods. And then we think to ourselves, oh, I'm having digestive problems, I better take this medication. And then that medication often has its own set of side effects that we then treat with another medication. And we're often running along the wrong track to health.
Right, and we're running in a big hamster wheel, aren't we, at that point?
Indeed.
So let's talk about trauma. That's a specialty of yours, and using food and nutrition to heal trauma. How do you work with that with people?
I work with it in a number of ways. One is that trauma, certainly we know, affects the ability to cope with stress. And the major organs of stress include the liver and the gallbladder and the adrenal function. And so the first thing I do with people under stress is I help them reduce the use of stimulants, the often self-medication behaviors. And sometimes when we're under stress, we're quite fatigued and we use lots of stimulants to increase our energy. Let's say coffee, for example. Coffee is a drug. It's not a beverage. Well, let's use it like a drug, which means small amounts of coffee are good to lift mood and increase energy. But too much coffee, more than 2 cups a day, let's say, and 2 cups early in the morning, actually add to anxiety and add to insomnia. So the first step is to review, what am I using to self-medicate? Whether it's prescription medication, whether it's foods, whether it's other kinds of drugs or alcohol, I want to understand what the body is craving and what the body is asking for. And we take morality, we take judgment out of it, because the belief is that what we're self-medicating is a sign or a symptom that the body needs something. And I want to find an effective substitution. So, for example, if someone's plying themselves with a lot of coffee because PTSD can be very fatiguing and they're artificially boosting up their energy, I want to say, well, let's back off the caffeine a little bit and find some substitutes. Green tea is a wonderful substitute, and it's a wonderful nourishing food and tea for PTSD. Why is that? Because green tea has both a little bit of caffeine, but it also has a very special amino acid called theanine. And theanine is an anti-anxiety chemical. And so when you take the green tea, you're getting a little bit of energy boost, but you're also counteracting that with some relaxation. And that becomes, let's say, an afternoon drink that you can have so you don't get the jitters. Or let's say you're self-medicating with a lot of alcohol. Alcohol addiction is certainly a complex problem, but at its very root, it's also a sugar addiction. And this is why we see people come off alcohol, gain sobriety, but they remain addicted to sugar because the liver continues to crave sugar. And so I do a lot of work with herbal medicine and with foods to nourish the liver, things like vegetables and bone broths, very easily digested foods as you're coming off alcohol addiction to restore liver function. And I even use liver glandulars. Even liver itself as a food is very healing. The traditions of chopped liver or liver pate are very healing for the liver, along with some of the wonderful herbs like dandelion, the bitter herbs as well. Slowly working with people to improve and increase their self-care, which is really the first stage of recovery in PTSD.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about this coming off of those substances that a lot of people get, addicted to, like sugar or caffeine or even fatty, salty kinds of crackers and chips and things like that. And, they come off of it, but then sometimes more stress or trauma can re-trigger, someone if they're in a weak moment, they get back on it, so to speak. What advice do you have for people out there who are really struggling and know, oh God, I've got to get off of sugar, I've got to get off of alcohol, I got to stop all this caffeine that I'm drinking, but they just have a hard time with it?
Well, one step at a time, certainly, and certainly being gentle and compassionate with yourself, understanding what your body is craving and then what you gravitate towards is very important. For example, when I'm working with someone to decrease sugar, I will guarantee you that if you can go cold turkey on all sugar and all carbs for 1 week and instead eat as much protein and fat as you want, you will eliminate your sugar addiction.
That's right.
Now, that's a physiological addiction. Mm-hmm. Now, you might, it may be that your body is craving more good quality protein, craving more quality fats, because anybody who knows, we don't crave, I've never had anyone say to me, oh, I'm addicted to carrots and lettuce, please help me. No.
Never.
We're addicted to sugar, and it's an empty cycle that it's never satisfying. We want more and more and more, and it alters our mood. It makes us moody. It raises our blood sugar. It lowers us. We get high and then we get low. And so the first step is to make the connection of what I really need. And any sugar addiction really needs protein and fat. And after 7 days, and we're familiar with this if you think of a modified Atkins diet, in which you eliminate all your carbs. And the first day or two can be difficult, but then after that, your mood stabilizes, you feel great, you feel energized, and then you begin to make the connection that it's just a pure physiological craving. And then once you're off it, you can make healthy decisions. It's not that you can't have a delicious mocha smoothie, and I've got a recipe for that in the Good Mood Kitchen, where you can mix some coffee, you can mix some green tea and some blueberries and some chocolate, along with coconut fat and some almond milk, along with some wonderful liquid stevia that will give you that sweet, nourishing milk-type shake in the afternoon. And that's extremely satisfying. So my approach says, we don't have to suffer, we don't have to self-abnegate, but we have to really read the message of the body and respond to it in an intelligent way. Give the body what it's craving. But I guarantee you, the body does not really want sugar. It wants something instead of sugar. We just happen to gravitate towards it.
Right, and even if we don't eat sugar like by the spoonful or in desserts, it's in 80% of the food supply. So people have to get really smart and start reading their labels, because it's hidden in plain sight.
Absolutely. It's totally hidden. And it speaks to the fact that we have to be savvy consumers, that people want to sell us things and get us addicted to things that of sugar and corn syrup and things that get heavily salted, that really assault our taste buds. And that's the other principle, that when we're making changes, what we realize is that we've been used to such overwhelming taste sensations that it's almost like we have to detoxify from them so that we get to experience the true saltiness in celery,
right,
rather than the fact that we can't taste it because we've had all this excess salt added to packaged foods.
So as we have just a couple of minutes left, but as we move into this very intense holiday season, whether we celebrate it or not, we're going to be inundated with lots and lots of stuff, a lot of stimulating foods. What could you recommend to someone who's really trying to make a change, but, you know, there's like the added stress of the holiday and season? What would you say to people to do?
One of the things I have in my book is a list of making a list of your own comfort foods. There's always going to be a time for comfort food, and a holiday season is a time to do this. And oftentimes people end up with family members where there's less comfort than there should be. Mm-hmm. And so I think certainly planning in advance and planning for what you need. And if you're traveling, bringing some of the things with you. Having some recipes on hand or preparing for yourself in advance. Also hooking up with a buddy that you can connect to, whether it's a health coach, whether it's a blog that you like to read, whether it's a friend who's on the same path that you are that you can reach out to when you're feeling like you're having a hard time sticking to what it is you want to do. I think also there's a principle of, if you're going to debauch, and let's face it, if we take care of ourselves 90% of the time, we can afford a little bit of what I call debauchery. There's nothing wrong with that, but we have to be able to get back on track. So there's nothing wrong with having a piece of cake with icing, but do it once. Don't do it 4 days in a row, three meals in a row. Decide when you're going to celebrate, and then have a way to get back on track. I think one of the best resources is having B vitamins and fish oil, because B vitamins, the complex B, really helps stabilize blood sugar, and it helps stabilize neurological function and helps you relax. The other thing are some natural anxiolytic herbs. I love valerian hops and passion flower to help stay relaxed in stressful times. I love the herb kava to help stay relaxed. And so think about what you need for yourself, read your body, take that quiet time to tune in, and then act as though you are going into a marathon. You're training for being with people. You're training for being under stress, and go in as a warrior who has what you need to navigate through this often minefield of the holiday season.
Well, that's great advice. Dr. Korn, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about your work and your books?
I'd be delighted. My website is Dr. Leslie Korn. I spell it LeslieKorn.com. You can certainly Google me. I've got a blog and lots of free information and recipes. And I also work with clients at a distance. I consult to clinicians. And we've got lots of resources and lots of books for whatever your natural medicine for mental health may require.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Leslie Korn, for being with us today on Health Watch.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist, your host, and you can listen to this episode later this afternoon and more episodes of Health Watch online at kboo.org/healthwatch.
And the number to call is 877-500-5266. And this book is available for an $80 pledge. I was just browsing through. It's got all sorts of recipes and pictures of it's a good mood kitchen. So this book is yours for an $80 pledge. So give us a call at 877-500-5266.
The Good Mood Kitchen is a beautiful cookbook. It's got a stain-resistant cover, so you can put that right next to your stove, and, you know, when you slop the odd juice on it and then try to wipe it off and gets caught into the flames of the burner and catches your cat on fire and all that. Now, wait a minute. Let me back that up.
Put the cat in the odd juice.
When it gets a little odd juice on it, you can just wipe it off. And you'll be glad to have the book. It is by Leslie Korn that you were just listening to, and you can get that by calling 877-500-5266. Do you ever get tired of your vote and or your contribution being watered down and subverted by corporate billionaires? We don't do that here. KBOO is People's Radio. Exxon is not welcome here. You are. And we do that by taking your contributions, by taking those of you who understand how important it is to pull along the society in a different and helpful direction, by putting out that information and that encouragement that we do here at KBOO. And you can call in and get the Good Mood Kitchen for just $80, spending 3 minutes on the phone. And I'm going to give you that number in just a minute, but Per will tell you about the prize drawing that we're doing on top of that.
Yes, we have a prize drawing for Monday, December 4th. Today's drawing is for a $250 gift certificate to Portland U Brew and Pub, and it covers a beer making experience for up to 7 people. So you and 6 of your friends can come down there and help them brew up a batch of good brew, good beer.
Somebody who calls us today is going to be that brewmeister.
Okay.
And going to have that, and that's a $250 value, so that can be you. And you can call 877-500-5266. This membership drive is going pretty well, and we need to top it up and fill in the corners. You can get the Good Mood Kitchen calling us 877-500-5266 and setting up an oh-so-easy draw out of your bank account each month, or we'll just take a credit card from you if you prefer to do it quick and easy that way. 877-500-5266, last 4 digits spelled KBOO. 877, of course, is toll-free 500 is easy to remember. Galaxy 500, think of it that way. And 5266 spells KABU. Once again, 877-500-5266. Pull over into the parking lot of that Krispy Kreme and give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Yes, and I want to thank Timothy, who's renewing from Albany. And Timothy tells us that KABU is keeping him sane. Well, we do that for all our listeners. We are sane in a crazy world, and we have to stick together and help each other stay sane, stay knowledgeable, keep us aware and alert to what the corporate machinations are going on about us, and that is the way to survive in this world. 877-500-5266. We keep each other sane. We keep each other knowledgeable. We keep each other aware. We keep each other in solidarity with each other. That is what KABU is all about. It is us against the corporate world.
We also have Amy Goodman's book, which we are offering to anyone calling in. This is an additional to everything else that we've said. You can have a copy of The Silenced Majority. We have a box full of those books, and you can have one just by asking for it. The Silenced Majority by Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan. And that's a great book for backing up all those Democracy Now! Broadcasts that you've listened to. But The Good Mood Kitchen's a wonderful book. We have the hardback cover. As I said, it's got the stain-resistant cover, and you'll be glad to have that in your kitchen. Call us right now, 877-500-5266.
Or come on down and see us at 20 Southeast 8th. Person just did that about half an hour ago.
That's right.
Yes.
Thanks for calling and thanks for coming.
He came down with a little money and we showed him around. And he took a look around the our lavish corporate headquarters here to see where his money's going, you know, and meet the folks. And I don't know if he stuck around for a cup of coffee, but we always have a pot of coffee going someplace. And we have, little items to eat to put you in a good mood. And so come on down and see us. That's 20 Southeast 8th, a little building with a nice mural in front. Yeah. Or if you go online. If it's still too early to meet people, you can go online, kboo.fm.